You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
What does motion sound like? With Kizikans free shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hello, it is your partner, Big Boy. Interested in giving back to your community while making new connections in your neighborhood? Introducing Neighbor to Neighbor, a California Volunteers network that empowers you to take action, contribute to local needs, and be a part of something bigger than yourself. Visit caneighbors.com to learn more about how you can get to know your neighbor and strengthen your community. Neighbor to Neighbor, it takes a neighborhood. Hello.
Yo, shouts to whoever's in the stall and coughs or jingles something so that you know they're there when you walk in the bathroom. You know what I'm talking about?
Gotcha.
Because so it's not like a little mystery you have to solve when you hear noise behind you.
I usually put my foot to the other stall and do a little
tap-tap.
Little tap-tap.
Yeah. That's a good way to make friends.
It's a good way just to connect.
Lose your job as a politician. One okay, of the two.
My fellow stall mates.
Yeah. How are you, buddy?
Okay.
Didn't want to scare you with my voice. I figured I'd just move my shoe into your personal space.
I just want to take this relationship slow.
Yeah, you know what okay. I do? I take my shoe off and I just slide it over there. You hold on to it for a little bit. You know what I mean?
Okay. Anyway, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Cooligans.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
As always, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
You know what you do? You always do it's becoming a tradition now, the shout-out in the beginning. I guess I'll put a shout out. I think people need to.
Oh, you could have saved this for the next episode.
We'll get it. Because
it's a nice little surprise
for
everyone.
It's in my mind now. People should probably move to Sacramento. It's a very empty city. Okay.
Yeah, you want to save money? Move to Sacramento. I ain't got nobody else.
I was there this weekend for a wedding. Sacramento was very lovely. I was right next to the. I was in a hotel right next to the arena where the Kings play.
Mm.
And there was nobody. There was nobody around. Like, very odd for any downtown Friday night.
Not one Sac Republic player anywhere?
I think they played while I was there. But unfortunately, I was at a wedding, right? But just concerning when there's just no people.
Yeah.
Just like around.
I told you this. Milwaukee was the same way when I was there. I'm like, bro, where is everybody?
Yeah.
Did a breakout? Did another COVID happen? You know?
my wife was like, where, when we were, because I have TSA PreCheck and she doesn't. And I shame her every day for not having it.
You go through and you wait for her on the other side. This should be the next shout out. Well, we're not taking our shoes off,
yeah,
dog.
Yeah, it's 2024.
We went on the website. We set up an appointment. We went to the space.
Why should I be penalized? Because you don't want to do the work.
No. You had an equal shot. I got my wife clear and pre-check or global entry, which is the same one, but including international. Got it for her as a gift. Took her a year to do it. And every time we went to the airport, she's like, really? You're going to go there? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm going to go through. I'll wait for you on the other side.
Okay. Absurd. But she was worried about, like, getting to the airport early because, you know, long lines.
Because she got to go through the full line.
Because she got to go through the full line. And I'm like, all right, we'll leave a little bit earlier. We get there, like almost 2 hours before our flight.
Mm-hmm.
The regular line was shorter than the TSA PreCheck line. There's nobody in Sacramento. Nobody's going. Nobody's leaving.
Yeah. Nobody's trying to get in there. Nobody's trying to leave. This happened when I got access to the lounge.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, all right, I'm going to go to the lounge. And they're like, sorry, you can't bring in a partner.
Wow.
You don't have that access. I'm like, come on, it's my wife. You know, charge me the whatever, $50 or whatever. And they're like, no, you can't do that. So I was like, ah. I gotta look at my wife and go, what are you gonna do? You know?
This is a tough situation.
Where are you going?
I hate that you've been put in this position.
Do you wanna by any chance get me something from duty free while I'm here? in the lounge getting a massage.
Okay. Get me one of those neck pillows.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You want me to bring you out some snacks? Wait right here. You're like, I know how much you love pistachios.
That's funny. So, yeah. So, shout out Sacramento. Lovely time out there. This is now also, we got to give a shout out Miguelito. Miguelito's officially a Miami resident.
Wow.
Mike.
Can you see me? I'm not sure how good the quality is here.
Mike, how you doing out there in at Lebatar Studios?
This isn't Miami, Mike. Yeah, I need a V-neck. I need a neon green or pink hat.
No, okay. It's good down here, bro. It's good down here. I'm down in the Metal Arc Studio in Miami main office. And yeah, dude, feeling... I mean, I miss you guys, obviously. That's the first thing. I miss you guys a lot. But
see, he's so Miami, he's lying to us already.
Look at that. Wow. Clearly, this is a symptom of somebody with a cocaine addiction.
Yeah,
we all know this.
This is a bad angle for you now that you live in
Miami.
I don't know
what you guys are talking about. I have no idea.
He cops on. Sorry. He's like, guys, I got a lot of ideas.
What?
No. Yeah. Who said that? You?
Yeah, no.
But yes, dude. Well, look, we're happy. Obviously, you're still producing all the way from Miami.
Yes.
So let's get to it because we have a lot to go over.
We got a lot to talk about
today.
Man.
There's too many topics, too little show. You know what I mean? There's not enough time.
Too fast, too furious.
Too furious. This is our episode.
The theme of my honeymoon. All right, everyone. This is
the episode where we dedicate. We do a full breakdown of every Fast and Furious film. In the whole franchise. Okay, it's gonna be great. No, we're gonna talk North London Derby. Everton are staying up. Some news in the Premier League with the salary cap. Let's go. Bringing Todd Boehly out here. Bringing American
USA. USA.
Playoffs. That should be next. Bro.
We'll talk some NWSL as well and some MLS. All right, North London Derby.
Let's go.
Get right to it because everybody was. I completely missed this game because. I was on the West Coast and woke up and I'm like, oh, Northern Derby happened? I didn't even realize.
Oh, yeah, that happened 5 hours ago. this was a fun one. Look, I think Tottenham actually played better than overall over the whole stretch of the game. I think Tottenham actually played better than Arsenal, but Arsenal did what they've been doing the last few weeks, which is when they go up against an opponent that really wants to play expansive, as opposed to getting ourselves caught out there. It's more of a hybrid, more of a mid-block, as opposed to pushing the line all the way up high. And look at this. We have 3 shots on target. How many goals did we score?
3. 3, right.
Come on, baby.
I started with the own goal from Højbjerg.
Off a corner. That's how bad they are at set pieces. They're scoring for the other team.
Yeah, it was I mean, Højbjerg, he did hit it into his own net, but there was a little bit of, like, the effort that Tomoyasu put to, like, kind of push him away or, like, you know, just try to get to the ball was what made Højbjerg, like, direct the ball right into his own net.
Yeah.
So still a lot of effort there, even though, you know, some fans are just, like, felt like it was, like, a giveaway. But it did build the confidence for Arsenal. But, you know,
Look, it was sticky for the last 9 minutes, man.
Right.
Oh, my God. I was stressed.
People were nervous, but they held on, especially since they were up 3-0 in the first half. It felt like... Just the confidence was just like as soon as Kai Havertz is shushing
you,
Kai Havertz, you know that you're in a bad place.
You're in a bad spot. You know what I mean? When Kai Havertz is doing a knee slide, it's not a good look. You know.
But he had a great game, and then
he's just proven over time. I think he's up to 11 goals now. I think he's proven over time that he's just one of those players that. Yeah, maybe what everything he does doesn't hit the stats. You know what I mean? He's so good at finding open space. He's so good at finding spots. He's so good at drawing other defenders out and making decoy runs. He's so good at doing all of those things that at the end of the day, you're just like, hey, man, I'm happier on the team. If someone tells me you suck, I can't prove to them you don't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Did you see Troops? did you see what Troops was saying? He was calling him... Killer Kai or Killer Bumba Clock. As soon as Troops is giving you...
You get the Bumba Clock in the middle of your name.
You get the Bumba Clock in your name.
That's basically being knighted. You know what I mean?
Okay, in Jamaica,
bro. That's the Sir Kai Havertz version for the hood.
So that's congratulations to Kai Havertz for getting
honor for him and his family.
Without a doubt, Troops has graced you with a nickname. You know, he passed it. He took it from Obama, and gave it to Kai Havertz. But
and the photo you're showing is Weird Al Yankovic and Alec Baldwin yelling at Declan Rice.
No, this is a great moment. We're just looking at the photo.
It does look like Alec
Baldwin. Declan Rice took the
see me on the set of Rust.
When Declan Rice took the corner,
do you know that reference?
What was the reference?
See me on the set of Rust.
I do.
No, I didn't.
That's the movie that Alec Baldwin.
Bro,
when he didn't laugh, I was like, I don't think you understand.
That was a good one.
I have not seen the movie because it has not, it's never coming out.
I don't think it's coming out.
Anyway, this dude is yelling at Declan Rice as he's taking the corner. This is right before Kai Havertz.
They score on this.
And it's just, we can't show you the video, but it's just such a hilarious moment of this dude berating Declan Rice as he's taking the corner. And then he takes the corner, Kai Havertz scores, and this dude just walks up the steps and goes straight home.
He turns around and leaves. He leaves the premises.
He's like, I am done. I had commented on the thing before. I was just like, my man, he spoke his piece and was like, all right, I've done what I needed to do.
Yeah. He did all he could do besides run out there and be a better player.
So because this after this goal, it was 3-0. So he was like, all right. I've done what I've.
Yeah, I don't need to be
today.
Here for the second.
Don't need to be here for this. I'm sure he missed out on a pretty entertaining second half.
Right, but now the real question is, the next team in the title race to play Tottenham is going to be City in what, 2 weeks?
Uh huh. Oh yeah, that's right. And everybody.
And that's probably the toughest competition that City have coming up. So in a way, if Tottenham, which I feel like they will, because Ange Postecoglou doesn't really do the whole, but he tells his players, don't even focus on the scoreline. Just play your game.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like he's not going to get into the whole, should we not? Should we throw the game? I feel like he's going to go out there and say, hey, if we have a chance to get in Champions League, let's go out there and play as hard as we can. I don't care where the chips may fall. Who cares about Arsenal? We play our game. And that could potentially drop the title in our hands.
That's right.
Tottenham will not only have lost to Arsenal at home, have brought back St. Tottenham's Day. Yesterday was St. Tottenham's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And may hand us the title.
Do you think, part of me thinks that the players and almost the fans would want them to lose the City.
A lot of fans are already saying, I don't care, lose. We don't need Champions League. I'm good with it.
I honestly
think. But Ange and the players, remember when you said to Dwayne D. Rosario, like, oh, you got nothing to play for at the end of the season? And he was like, my pride, how dare you?
right.
I feel like these players are no like, hey, man, I might not be here next year. I got to play for a contract.
Mm-hmm.
I got to show out.
Yeah, which, of course, you understand. Both, there is a... some players might be more torn than others. Some fans might be more torn than others because you want success for your own club, but if you win, you are giving your rival a huge opportunity to win the league for the first time in 20 years and to hold that over you. And all the banter, because a lot of times...
But Arsenal's already won the league. It's not like they would win Champions League.
But they are Tottenham supporters that weren't alive when Arsenal won the last time they won the league, and so for their childhood.
I don't think the two people running for U.S. president were alive the last time Tottenham won the league.
That is true, but there's something about not giving your rival, your enemy, or whatever ammunition as far as like even in school, even you're having banter with your friends. You don't want them to succeed in any way, so they can bring it back up to you.
Right.
So it's like, nah, I'm gonna lose on purpose. I want my team to lose on purpose so that we both suffer.
Well, I just want you to know that I've always said Tottenham are a team of character.
I was gonna say this feels like a fan thing way more than a player thing. Do you think the players really care? Maybe the fans of Tottenham will care and be like, oh, I'd rather lose, but I don't think the players. They want to win and get in Champions League. No,
there might be like one or two players who are diehard Tottenham fans since they were kids and like don't want to see
it. Are there any? Like, who are the homegrown players?
There might be one or two, maybe
on
academy
squad.
Kids, you know?
Yeah, maybe.
All I can think about is like how people found Chris Wood's old tweets that said City, City, City.
Yes.
After he missed two wild sitters against City. Mm-hmm. Part of me is like, bro, Heming Son, how long has he been a part of this? You know?
Did you see, you know, the dude Steve-O the Madman?
Yes.
Okay, and he made he's a West Ham supporter. I know that. But he made this hilarious video.
This is Frimmy.
This is
now. It's but, not on us, but we've got to pray to the heavens or to whoever that Arsenal cannot win this league. Now, I want them to. I really do. You know, I've got a soft spot for Arsenal, but I don't have a soft spot for their fans, I'll be honest with you, yeah? So for the sake of humanity, we cannot let this happen.
Watch this.
As I say, I think we've got to pray to the football gods. There is football gods out there, trust me. I know you've all prayed to them before, yeah? Everyone pray to the football gods that Arsenal do not win this league, because I can't take much more of this.
I'll stop it, but this is
Frimmy.
Frimmy dancing to after the win in the North London Derby, and he's like, "Bro, we can't have this anymore, bro."
Bro, I like Frimmy's Frimpon's comment, but lol, we can't even celebrate beating our rivals anymore. Game's gone. Shouts to Frimmy, man. And then, he's so dumb.
It's hilarious. So this is, but this is the state of it, you know, especially in London. You know, there's obviously a lot of teams out there. And there's a lot of, you know, the discourse, they don't want Arsenal to succeed. In the comment, it was funny because he was in the caption. He says, quote, can you imagine if Arsenal win the league? It's going to be peak for fans all around the world. This was just after a derby win. I'd ask all City fans I know to start praying, but I don't know any.
It's a funny little bit.
It's a funny little jab there out there. No, you love to see it. So, that's kind of the thing. I think Arsenal, obviously had so many incredible players and incredible history, but there's something of just like people, they don't want Arsenal to succeed. They don't want them to be happy. That's basically it.
I mean, I get it, you know. And
I can agree.
Arsenal
I agree with
fans.
That. People do not want Arsenal to be happy. I am one of those people.
I think the last people they want to win is Chelsea because of the fans. But I will say I've met some Arsenal fans where I'm like, okay, I get where the stereotype comes from.
Sure.
You know, I try not to be that person. And if I am, maybe it's just because your team sucks, you know?
So a huge game. Congrats to them. Hopefully, everybody now has eyes on Manchester City and see if they can drop points. I saw Pep Guardiola basically say that if they draw in any of these games remaining, that they will lose the league because that's how close the margins are. But
it's what's the goal differential, though? Because, dude, City have a couple 5-0s in them.
Yeah, I mean they're not. I don't think they're
seven goals.
Okay, well, 7 goals is not good. But you imagine Arsenal are going to score a few more goals.
Yeah, we would have had 60-50 if it wasn't for Tottenham or 59. Damn it.
Yeah, so it's going to be close. But the other one, you know, obviously the result.
How can you only lose one game in the calendar year of 2024, score the most in the league, give up the least goals in the league, score the most from set pieces, and still not win this league?
Dude, they had that. What was that stretch of like where they 4 or 5 games where they like drew a bunch and lost like one or something like that? Like it's just that little slip up in December, November, December. That's it.
A blip.
That's the difference. The other Liverpool drew to West Ham.
Oh, no. If we do this segment, there will be fire.
So, that was another weird part of it where, like, again, this is supposed to be Jurgen Klopp's.
Darwin Nunez got to hold him back. Had to hold Mohamed Salah back.
This was supposed to be Klopp's final. Oh,
look at the collapse after losing Everton. Bro, Sean Dyche puts on a tracksuit and it's over.
I would say it probably started with the loss to Atalanta in Europa League.
I think it's the draw. Sorry, the draw to Manchester United.
Okay.
That started everything kind of feeling weird around this whole thing.
They stopped playing for him, bro. He shouldn't have mentioned anything about leaving.
Say you're coming back.
Okay.
Confused everyone.
He's supposed to give a 2-week notice, not an 8-month notice.
Yeah, dog, you're doing too much. Why are you still here, dog?
Now we're thinking about this way too much.
Bro, we done gave up your office already, man. Why are you still here?
One of the announcers mentioned it during the game about, like, do you think that the announcement that he was leaving put pressure on the players to...
My mother's called me twice, so I'm just going to text her, by the way. I'm not being rude.
Okay. All good. But it does beg the question. I'll put this to you, Mike. If them making the announcement or Klopp making the announcement, does it put pressure on the players to do something special for him, given that they know it's his final season? Like, is that an unnecessary pressure on top of... You know, already
don't eat any lasagna that Mohamed Salah made you after that.
I was just going to say, I don't know if it put pressure. It seems like it's kind of done both, right? Like when they first started, it was very clearly a galvanizing thing. But since then, they've completely fallen off.
Yeah, as an Everton fan, you love to see it.
Yeah, you're happy about it.
Because Everton are staying up, okay? There's three games remaining in the season.
Are you guaranteed to not get relegated?
Guaranteed.
Oh, so you're good.
This is great. I didn't think.
You should give up like 8 goals to Arsenal. I remember before I said no team
now,
would do that.
Now at this point, I'm like, yo, this is why, as an Everton fan who's friends with lots of Arsenal fans, I'm like, yeah, we got you, bro. We good.
Yeah,
we
don't worry about us.
All these extra points. Yo, Premier League, take as many as you need so that we stay up.
Yeah.
You can take a couple more, okay?
Yeah. You know what? I feel bad about that, the fact that we got it back. Take it too bad.
The 8 that you took from us, give it to the Gunners, bro. They need it. This is Everton win against Brentford. Everton are currently above Brentford Football Club.
Bro, Brentford are sliding.
I don't know what's been happening to them recently.
They do have 2 wins, and I also bet on them to beat. No, I didn't. I bet on Crystal Palace to beat Fulham because Crystal Palace are playing well. And they drew. Yeah.
They drew. but this is kind of remarkable. Again, Everton were docked so far 8 points. So, I mean, they would be in 14th place right now, mm-hmm. if those points weren't deducted. And given we've seen Everton this season, just it's weird because because of the points deduction, the season has felt worse than it actually has been. You know, as far as like from performance, because Everton have had some really really poor performances this season. But weirdly enough, it's like this season is better
than last year.
Last year and the year prior, mm-hmm. which it took until last year was 2 games. It was the penultimate game of the season where they stayed up, and the year before that it was the final game of the season. But it's like a weird. I don't even know how to feel. Like there's without the
like all of a sudden a major negative has shifted to a positive. And you're like, wait, what?
Because it's also they barely signed anybody.
This is like when your friend tells you how much they hate some guy, and you're like, yo, we hate him. And then you see your boy hanging out with him, you're like, wait. I thought we hated them. Or like your girl tells you this work lady at work is a real bitch. Yeah, and you're like, yo, we hate Stacy, bro.
Shelly is a nightmare.
Yo, Shelly from accounting is ops, bro. And then you go out to like a work event and they're hanging out. You're are we cool with Shelly now?
What are we doing?
Because I've been farting on her drink the whole time.
That's right. The old fart on the drink, and that's
you want to get him back, folks. In a way they can't prove it.
Okay. Do not be an enemy of Alexis. or if his wife is an enemy of somebody,
I would cover your drink if you're not drinking.
Not a roofie. No. Nope. It's gonna be a fart.
Nope, I do. I put nothing in there, more around it.
Okay.
I change the air around it.
Okay.
Fart on the drink is a good technique.
I was like, I just had, a cranberry vodka. Now I got pink eye.
Well, that bar must be dirty. We've been there before. The only difference was Alexis. He just kept eating beans before we got there.
So for the first time in a long time, I think a lot of Everton fans probably feel this way. It was like, I don't know what to do without having the panic and anxiety.
Well, last season it was what, like 2 games before the end of the season that you were saved?
Yeah. And then the one prior was the final game, and that was the one where Dominic Calvert-Lewin scored the goal, and the fans jumped on the pitch, and Frank Lampard was, this is the one where also Patrick Vieira was getting harassed, and he like kicked the guy. Remember?
Yeah, that's right.
This was against Crystal Palace.
What a random. I mean, you're talking about 2 managers aren't even there anymore. So it's like a fever dream.
This guess, yes, a lot has happened. So yeah, it's a it, this now puts. A ton of pressure on the teams. Obviously, Sheffield United just got relegated this weekend. But I think the biggest story is probably Burnley. Burnley, who were
They're trying.
Who were struggling and giving up late goals and always just I was kind of like 20 games ago. I'm like, are they really gonna stick with Vincent Kompany? This is crazy. Yeah. They're fundamentally like falling apart. In late in games when they just really need to just hold on to either a lead or just to get a point. And they had to, but now the draw against Manchester United from Huge. Burnley is bananas.
Especially since I bet on Manchester United. I cannot win in this goddamn morning footy betting segment. But I mean, so Burnley has Newcastle coming up, which could be tough, but also I can see Burnley possibly squeaking it out. You know what I mean?
Burnley are on 24 points. Luton on 25.
They're one win away, essentially, from getting out of the drop zone.
Yes. And so Nottingham Forest is there with 26. And Burnley won, which is just, it's like remarkable that they're even in this position. Because it just, honestly, it says so much about the teams above them, right?
I mean, look at Burnley. They've scored 38. They've given up 70 goals.
Which is like four. There's something about having one of the most legendary Premier League center backs as your manager.
And you sucking and
you
at defense.
You cannot defend. It's crazy. this is.
I really thought by this point he'd be out there. Player coach. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sheffield United, man. They give up three more goals. They'll be the first team in Premier League history to give up 100 goals.
Look at that. I mean, and then I feel bad for the American Austin Trustees on that team.
Yeah.
We
got to airlift them out of there.
The homie Tom Davies is also. He left Everton to join Sheffield. Didn't get too many minutes playing there, but a rough situation. But I think Burnley.
Remember, Austin Trusty previously was the best defender in the championship, or at least the players, the fans' choice.
Sure.
Defender of the year.
So realistically, who do you think goes down? I mean, because I honestly think, as far as like form, and we're looking at it right now on the screen, I think Burnley can do it. I think Burnley can stay up.
I think we do this a lot. Like you get two draws and a win, and we're like all of a sudden on board. You know what I mean? I think this league is difficult. I can still see Luton maybe. Pulling out a win against Everton now that Everton is saved.
Yeah.
Maybe they relax a little bit, take the foot off the throttle. I could see Luton squeezing out a win or at least getting a draw.
They lost to Wolves, bro. I mean, not that with all due respect, I mean, Wolves are all right, but you can't be.
You can't.
You can't be. Nah.
You can't take an L. Those are the teams you should be beating.
It's such a huge game. Did they lose at? They lost at Wolves, but still, bro. Even getting a point there would have been
massive.
Tremendous.
So, well, yeah, if they had a point, they'd be.
They'd be
tied on points with Nottingham Forest. Yeah, just goal differential.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is.
But really, I think the real answer is between Nottingham Forest, Luton, and Burnley, the next one of those teams to actually win is saved.
You think so?
Yeah. If Burnley wins the next match and Nottingham Forest, which played really well against City, by the way, really, really well.
Yeah.
If Nottingham Forest and Luton lose, they're out. They're cooked. How hilarious would it be if they're saved and somehow Brentford is well?
No, Nottingham Forest has the next match. They have obviously the much better matchup. They play against Sheffield United, so you would imagine they should be able to handle that. But Luton plays Everton, which is and that's going to be I believe at Luton, right? Yeah, at Luton Town. So this is a game where now Everton do not need a point here. But still something, it's not going to be an easy game for Luton Town. So I honestly think, I think there's three games remaining. I'm going to put my money on Burnley. I think they can actually do it. And it'll be an incredible upset.
I'll say Nottingham Forest just because their owner kind of looks like future me.
Yeah, yeah. You know? how much further in the future?
All right, like all right. Weeks. At least I got hair.
So you think
I get a couple billion in a couple weeks? That's it's a compliment.
The other thing we should mention for the Premier League is the Premier League salary cap. This has been something I think that was discussed. I think it just kind of came up a couple weeks ago.
I didn't expect to hear about it.
And I want to get I want to get this post up. But here it is. The Athletic reported Premier League clubs have agreed to push ahead with plans for a hard spending cap as part of the quote unquote squad cost rules that will come into effect at the start of the 25-26 season. So not next season coming up. The following year after that, the following summer. And basically, so I was looking at the Sky Sports sort of details about it. And it's essentially the I'll continue reading. It just says, as revealed by The Athletic last week, the de facto salary cap will, quote-unquote, anchor the maximum permitted spending of any club to a multiple of what the lowest earning side receives via the Premier League's centralized broadcast and commercial deals. So it's always going to be stuck with if Sheffield United,
if City get whatever 100 million and Sheffield United only get 30 million,
yeah,
you can only spend so much
a multiple
yeah,
of
X of
what
3X,
Sheffield
4X of what Sheffield
exactly, and I believe I think it's 5X based on what I read, which some people think is still pretty high, but it also some of the other details are teams that are in Europe can only spend 70% of their revenue can be spent on player wages. And for teams that are not in Europe, it's 85%.
Yes, I did hear this, to sort of level the playing field.
Exactly.
So which also makes English teams a little weaker in Europe, I assume.
We'll see. I mean, it's sort of relative because I think from a business perspective, we all sort of been hearing the things about like,
who put this rule in, the Saudi league? This feels like you're playing right into their hands.
So it was so 14 teams in the Premier League had to vote on it, had to vote yes for it to happen. The teams that voted no were City, Chelsea,
United, yeah. City.
It was the Manchester clubs and Aston Villa.
Aston Villa. Where did Aston Villa come from?
I don't know. What's going on with Villa? You got money like that? What's up?
They're plotting for Mbappe. They're about to make a move for Mbappe. And everyone's like, whoa, hold on.
Yeah, whoa. Not now, dude.
So it basically now we have kind of like what we have in American sports, where it's not exactly the same concept. Like, in like NFL,
they should have just done a hard salary.
Yeah, baseball has a luxury tax where if you spend more money.
Yeah, say it's like $150 million you can spend. If you spend over that luxury tax, that money gets split amongst all the other teams.
Right.
Done.
Yeah.
Go ahead. So City got it anyway.
Yeah. So that, I think this is probably better for the sustainability of the game, right? We see Everton, we see Nottingham Forest deal with these
profits. Yeah, but it's also not my money. You know what I mean?
Oh, good point, man. I didn't even think of it that way. Yeah, you know what? It's not my money. This is ridiculous.
Bro,
why have these rules?
Why are you stopping other people from spending their own money? Come on.
I love it. I think it's going to be a thing where those are questions, right? Like, is it going to hurt the Premier League teams against the European sides? And you have to think yes to some degree. But also, the Premier League has such a huge advantage on those other European sides. Every other country, we saw City against Real Madrid in Champions League, and basically from the 20th minute on, they barely touched the ball, and it's like, this is Real Madrid. Yes, they ended up winning in penalties, and it wasn't. You don't necessarily expect a team like Real Madrid to bunker down against any team in the world, but they kind of had to against
City. Is kind of the way they play it, right? They wait for you, and then they spring on the attack. And then everyone on their team is hyper-fast.
You know? So I think overall this is I think it's going to be a net positive. I think the Premier League...
Can't wait to see these comments.
Well, look, I mean, you can't also...
Two Americans voting for yes for cap?
You can't be a fan that's like, damn, City and 115 charges. Why aren't they ever, getting punished? And why aren't they ever doing anything? And it's like we see what the trend is going in.
Yeah, the trajectory is that people with oil state money are going to be able to spend whatever they want.
They're bringing, and look, and this is the other thing. Like, we were making the joke about Steve-O, the madman, saying about like, I couldn't find any City fans, but Manchester City are a very commercially viable, popular team in the world.
Yeah.
Yes. Back then, when in 15 years ago and whatever, they were in the second
division. Claudio
Reyna,
yeah.
Yes, that time happened. But Manchester City have, like, every event that we go to, they got boots on the ground. Yeah. They have fans. There are people.
They own more clubs than Sheffield United have wins this season.
So they look, the investment is paying off as far as just raising the brand notoriety.
Right.
And, you know, where sometimes there are younger people that are like, oh, there's a second team in Manchester? I don't know about it. What's this red team you're talking about?
Yeah, when did they get here?
So that's a real thing. So it's a this is an opportunity to level some of that tremendous gap that they are building. Because, again, we're watching the last 5-6 years, and it's like you got to be perfect. You have to be absolutely flawless to even come close to challenging for the title, and you still lose.
One loss on the road, and you're out of the – I mean, it's crazy.
So that this at least introduces some level of competitiveness to the league, and given the 5x difference of – The players are still gonna get paid.
Yeah,
They're not gonna be missing out on that much.
Maybe at the end of the
roster. The
you're
guy
making MLS money.
The guy. Yeah,
sorry.
The guy that is, you know, gets 8 minutes a season.
Right,
he's not making $8-9 million.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think he'll be fine as well.
Maybe you get a Toyota. You know?
Okay. I mean, it's gonna be embarrassing pulling up to training, but you'll be all right.
Throw rims on that joint. No one will notice.
Look, 3 games left in the Premier League season. Still a lot to look forward to.
The drama's only getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Exactly. At the top of the table, at the bottom of the table, the middle, they're just chilling out there.
It's so good.
Everything's out here like this.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. What y'all want to do? Want to go to the beach today?
Okay, the beach. It's all just, it's no real sand. It's just stones.
Hypodermic needles.
The beaches in England are just stones.
Yeah, man. It's not good.
It's not comfortable on your feet.
All right, so we're coming back stateside here. Going to MLS after a crazy weekend of matches. It seems like Lionel Messi is still the GOAT, guys. I'm not sure if you heard about this. He's pretty amazing, leading the league in goals and assists at
Hold
the moment.
Hold on, Mike, I'm sorry. Say that again.
Yo, Lionel Messi is pretty good at soccer. That's crazy. Yeah.
Okay, well, look, this is a traditional sports program, so counterpoint.
Yeah.
I don't think he is the GOAT.
Also, right? You better have two sources before you say that on our show.
Gillette Stadium.
On turf.
On turf. Even Luis Suarez was like, bro, I don't care about my knees.
Yeah, bro, we'll play this out. We ain't going to be here at the end of the season anyway.
I gotta applaud these old men.
Yes.
Coming retirement what? Retirement who?
Now okay. They said, bro, we in Miami since we was kids, bro.
Okay.
By the way, this is a PSG top. I don't want anyone thinking I'm wearing a Miami shirt.
This is like, we'll play on a goddamn cow pasture. We do not care.
Bro, Lumpy, I don't care.
Bring in a pitch from Honduras, we'll play on it.
We good. Bro, just paint the lines on the parking lot. We be out there.
All right, get a futsal. We'll do it.
Bro.
No, man, look, this is more. More than Zlatan never played on pitch. Thierry Henry never played on pitch. On turf. He was on the pitch.
How did he do it?
No, but never played on turf. And
well, certainly tried to avoid it. I think he did in the playoffs once.
Yeah.
But he certainly, I think Henry tried to avoid it.
You know, what was it? Messi, last season we went to go see him play in Charlotte. Played right there. And
So if you're that old, what you need your ACL for?
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, you're going to retire in a couple years anyway, bro. Get out there. Run it out.
They paid them old-ass ACLs a lot of money.
Yeah.
So I think they want to keep them.
We need a Tommy John surgery for the ACL.
they have it. They have ACL surgery.
No, but we need, you know, Tommy John takes the thing out of your leg and puts it in your elbow.
Okay. So
we need to figure out where, like, maybe a horse tendon.
We gotta get a nice, you know, get a donkey's.
Somebody.
They don't need it that
no.
badly.
No.
Imagine Messi with horse ACL, bro.
What was that baseball movie with a little kid? His tendon was too tight.
Oh yeah,
and every time he threw him,
Rookie of the year.
Yeah. So he got the injury, and then he became like the best pitcher in the world. Great film.
Tony Danza was in that.
That's right.
A little Tony Danza fact for you.
You didn't think you were gonna hear about Tony Danza.
You know, he's a legend.
Shout out to Mark Consuelo, speaking of, you know, Italy and Italian.
Promotion
for Campobasso.
Bro, they're going to Cheddar C.
No, they're going to they won.
No, D. They won D.
Oh,
they're
D,
going
D,
to
they,
C.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Chesna won C and is going to B.
Correct. So shouts to him. All right.
Shouts to Kelly Ripa. We don't ever talk
we
about
don't
her.
We don't talk about Tony Danza and Kelly Ripa enough.
two morning show legends.
Okay. Pillars.
When was the last time you thought about Kelly Ripa? Put it in the comments.
So, all right.
Don't tell us what you were doing. Just tell us, when was the last time?
Gillette Stadium. They got like almost 63,000.
They sold out.
They didn't sell out, but they saw a lot. It was like 63,000.
Sorry, Charlie told me it was a sellout.
Okay. He's a sellout.
Maybe that's what he was saying. I'm a sellout.
No.
He was upset because people kept asking him in town, are you going to the Messi game?
Right. And he kept saying, God. As a former Revs player.
And the radio announcer.
Exactly.
He was like, you mean the Revs game? And they're like, who's that? Yo, the refs have their own game, you know? But he was upset. He wasn't upset, but he kept trying to correct people. Hey, you're not going to the Messi game. It's a Revs game. And then I said, so, you know, was it more Revs or Messi? He's like, it was more Messi.
Okay. Well, it's just par for the course. That's what happens every time. But again,
that's pretty standard. I mean, I'm not upset about it. That's part of growing the game here.
I saw the clip from Morning Footy that he got his the autograph for his twins.
Yeah.
Messi signed his kids' jerseys.
And he said his kids were looking around like it was Christmas morning, seeing everybody there. And he said he thinks that's the moment where they decided they want to be professional soccer
players.
Which is
remarkable because their father is a professional soccer
Yo,
player.
Yo, get out of here, bro. You dumb. Dusty. Nobody cares about you, Dad.
Dad, bro, I see you do is do the laundry and take out the garbage. You ain't impressing anybody.
You just talk to a fat guy, an Argentinian guy, and a blonde woman every morning.
Okay? You ain't messy. You ain't what he does.
Ew.
This is your kids will be your biggest haters, bro.
They absolutely will.
You just have to. I'm already accepting
it. Your kid's going to love me.
He's going to be like, Uncle Alexis, the funniest, greatest guy in the world.
Why are you more like him? And you got to put up with that.
He's gonna be like, bro, it's just I like hanging out with people that act my age, you know?
Yeah. He understands where to get a fiddle, even though he's now in a wheelchair.
So the game they had, obviously Drake Callender giving up that early goal.
Where was he? His GPS shut off.
He's using Apple Maps,
that's the mistake.
That's a mistake.
They don't update the streets.
They don't give you the right. There's like, when there's a new building constructed, Apple Maps says drive right into it.
Apple Maps be trying to get you to hit Broadway. No matter where you're going. That's a New York specific reference. Don't nobody want to take 7th Apple Maps.
Apple Maps is like, bro, Times Square, never heard of it.
Nah. I think Apple Maps is like, what's the widest streets? There's a reason why we don't drive on the widest streets out here.
So, the Drake Callender, and a lot of people have already mentioned this. A great goal from Chankala, because it's not easy to put that goal away.
A little chip with the outside of the boot.
But the Drake Callender made the decision for him. He came out way too early.
Yeah, and he hit him with like the stutter step.
This ain't the combine. Throw your whole risk your life to get that ball if you are gonna come out.
You out there now, you gotta be a linebacker.
Okay. Get your shoulder pads on. You're in Gillette Stadium,
bro.
It was like 35 seconds to the game, which is a great ball from Carlos Hill to get it to Chankalai.
And then that was the end of Rev's highlights.
Not much happened after that. No. The Revs had their flu game to some degree. I mean, obviously they didn't succeed, but a lot of the players got sick. They had like a stomach bug, which I think this is the Novo virus. Have you heard about this disease going around? There's like a stomach bug going around. I didn't maybe 3-4 weeks ago. I was kind of feeling it. I was just like, I threw up and I was just like, well, I don't just be throwing up like nothing. But then. Everybody, the next few weeks, I hear people saying like, I have stomach, I threw up or whatever. And then something's going around. It's called the Novo virus. And I think that's what happened to the Revs.
So, is that the name of the thing? It's a Nuva ring. Never mind.
I knew as soon as you said Nuva. Yeah,
The players are not using a Nuva ring.
Yeah, I was about to say, bro, get away from it, bro. It's not for you. Of course you're getting sick.
Imagine, oh my goodness. Where are they putting it? This is my main question.
That is not a bracelet, dude. You gotta stop.
I put it inside? Do I put myself through it? I don't know exactly.
What would Shorty do written on the side of it?
Anyway, so yeah,
it's good for a goalkeeper though to block all those shots. A new ring would do that. Would help you do that.
Anyway.
Let's get a Nova Ring sponsor.
Why don't we have one yet? Because the majority of our community is they were users of it. Yeah. They would, right? Anyway, we have a lot of contraception options. We're happy to.
Shoot us in the comments.
What's your favorite contraceptive solution? Okay?
Also, put the peace sign if you're one of them pull out kings.
Pull and pray? Yo. Okay, I get it.
Well, better not pull and spray, man. You got to let them know.
Okay. Whatever works
for
you.
We're talking Major League Soccer. Soccer.
So congrats. Inter Miami are now, still leading in the supporter shield, which is like, with all the injuries that they have, it's still pretty remarkable that they are doing as well as they are, because you would think defensively they would still, even though they have a very stacked roster up front, you would think defensively they would, like, you know, have issues here and there. But
they're just going to score way more than you can score.
Exactly. And then look, even the pass from Busquets to Messi for, I think, was the second goal.
The one where, like, how did he see that one player holding him onside?
I was watching MLS wrap up, and I'm watching, Kevin Egan, Andrew Wiebe.
Don't forget to wrap it up, fellas. If you don't have an Uber ring.
If you don't have an Uber ring, there's other options.
How come they don't have a Magnum sponsor for wrap up?
great question. Okay.
Bro, come on.
Okay, we're happy to help.
Why am I helping you?
Bradley Wright Phillips is on there, and they were watching the highlight of Busquets' pass, and even Bradley Wright Phillips, as he's watching the highlight, he's like, "Bro, I don't even see that pass as I'm watching the highlight right
from
now.
From a bird's eye view.
I'm watching this. I'm looking at from the drone footage.
Yeah.
I don't even see how Busquets saw that opportunity to make that pass.
I know what happened, and I still don't know how it happened.
So, that was remarkable. Messi, Inter Miami and Messi, just any game. And as if he's on the field, it's just the other thing I saw Taylor Twyman mention this, of just like, it's pretty remarkable that not only is he like selling out stadiums and stuff, but he is literally every game, especially on the road where all these people are paying a bunch of money to go see him. He's like, I'm gonna give you a show, and I'm gonna guarantee. He's like, yeah, I'm guaranteeing a goal. You're gonna see something special.
Yeah, you get a goal contribution from me no matter what. He also Charlie told me something that I don't know if you saw this on the broadcast. But he stayed after and walked around the pitch and clapped all his fans.
Okay.
I mean, we clapped. I mean,
who wants some?
No, I thought I clapped cheeks. Is what I was thinking. Who wearing a Nuva ring?
I mean, people, they wouldn't say no to either, bro.
No, they'd be like, I mean, babe, you do. And it is messy.
How are you going
to? I'll raise the kid. He could be the future.
I mean, if I'm going to use my hall pass, it has to be now.
She's like, your hall pass isn't for who I bang.
This show's devolving. That's
exactly what I want.
Impressive stuff.
Obviously, New York City beat Charlotte for the first time in history.
So you love to see it. Yeah. Right? It took quite a while. It's always interesting. Dean Smith, did you see the quotes beforehand? They were asking him about first time playing football in a baseball stadium and the whole thing. And he's like, oh, yeah, I've been training on how to get to third base or blah, blah, blah. sponsored by NuvaRing in his comments. Okay.
You want to slide home with security and assuredness.
So he's making jokes. And I think this might be like 100% like winning ratio. But anytime a manager makes fun of the fact that NYCFC play in a baseball stadium,
we body them.
They either lose or it's like a draw. They never win. And this is like, this has been fairly consistent.
Also, get your jokes out now. 2027 is right around the corner.
Exactly. You won't be able to make them anymore.
Right. Dusty old jokes.
Okay. Hack, bro.
Yeah, bro. Been there, done that.
And,
Shecky Green.
late goal from Alonso Martinez. Yeah. Which is, remember, they were supposed to do the ninth minute. Did you hear everybody talking about? Shout out to City Boy, NYCFC City Boys. They had suggested that in the ninth minute, similar to when Tati was at Girona, that he had missed a really big chance in the game prior. So the next game, they get in the ninth minute, they gave him a standing ovation.
For Moussaf Bakrar.
And so they were doing that for Moussaf Bakrar. And because I think NYCFC gave up a goal in like the third minute,
Not everyone joined it. Very few people.
Yeah. Nobody was like, it was like a lack of awareness or maybe just frustration.
Yeah.
Because it was funny because after.
Remember when we were at Goodison Park and they were like, we're all leaving in the 27th minute.
Right.
And then you were winning in 27th minute. And they're like, all right, we're going.
We're going to see how this plays out.
We're
going
to push this protest back.
Okay. Maybe we were, you know, we jumped the gun a little bit.
Yeah. 27th minute next week. You know?
So, but it was funny because after the game, they did ask him, I forgot who it was, apologies, but somebody asked Moussa Barkhar, like, oh, did you hear about in the ninth minute that you were going to get a standing ovation? And he's like, oh, yeah, Ilinich told me about it, but I didn't hear anything.
Damn, he's missing shots, he's missing ovations. I mean, we're, you know, obviously, jokes aside, like, we want to support this guy.
Of course, yeah. Nobody wants him to do poorly. And it's like, it's leading to positive results for NYCFC. Even though he is not scoring, he is doing a lot of great things. So maybe in the next game, the ninth minute thing could happen.
Yeah.
But then it's just, again, it's just not for the storyline, it doesn't work as well when the replacement striker scores a 93rd minute game winner. It's just...
You know what? Clap in the 93rd minute. How about that?
The 93rd minute is now for Moussa Barkhar. Yeah. So, but no, huge win. Also, there was a lot of people tweeted. I had asked, like, what was the funniest moment in soccer this weekend, and there were pitch invaders after the goal,
right?
Which is glad that they're happy.
Yes,
but they did get
celebrating your seats.
They did get tackled. We weren't at the game because we were both at different weddings.
Sounds like we made that up, and we're the pitch invaders.
our court date is in two weeks.
I swear that wasn't us.
Imagine, but no, that was pretty wild. I did see the video footage of it. Okay, a couple other things in Major League Soccer. We'll try to get to your teams, everybody. I know that it's really, really difficult. But RSL went to Subaru Park to play against Philadelphia Union. Philadelphia Union were the...
Dude, they don't lose at home. Why are we even talking about this?
The final undefeated team, and they lose at home to RSL.
Jeez.
The game winner, which is just literally one of the wildest goals. I mean, this season, we've already seen... MLS is nothing but bangers only, okay? Sponsored by Magnum.
Yeah. Our show's for bangers only. You feel me?
But shout out.
Get that NuvaRing, girl.
Shout out to, you know, Levitard family, Chris Whittingham on the call. Let's just watch this goal real quick.
Be 5 draws and 8 to start the campaign for Philly, albeit still unbeaten. Katranis on the volley!
This is remarkable, bro.
That was off a self-volley, if you will.
The ball gets back to him. I kind of love the celebration.
The respect.
It's just like, the silencer. Yo, quiet down. I got this.
Yeah, easy now. Easy. I mean, if you look at the time, it's the 89th minute.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Absolute banger. Just like didn't have a lot of time to kind of like prep for this shot and just set himself up. It's just like, look, and it's not easy to get any goal past Andre Blake, but bro, just not... even thinking about it.
It's going to take a goal like that to get past Andre Blake, especially at home.
Unbelievable goal. So great.
RSL having a pretty good season so far.
Yeah, dude. Are they first in the West?
I don't think so.
They are
first in the West, bro.
Jeez.
So
by how much? I thought they were in second.
They're tied. They're tied on points.
There you go.
But they're ahead on goal.
With LA Galaxy, right?
Yeah, because
LA Galaxy drew.
So, no, LA Galaxy lost.
Lost.
To Austin. That's Austin.
Austin in a bit of a run.
Yeah, they're looking all right. Couple, you know, everybody, the Josh Wolf out. They're getting a little quieter.
Yeah, more like Josh Wolf. Ow!
that was going on. Okay.
Austin FC fans, clip that, use the audio.
Play it in the stadium. You know what I mean?
Whatever you want to do. Matthew McConaughey repeat that.
Yo, have him put on a fat suit and pretend to be me.
But Austin FC win 2-0. The second goal from Obreon was the pass, the tackle from Alex Ring to win the ball back and then sent Obreon and he ends up putting away a difficult goal. Former NYCFC player Alex Ring. So it was a great goal to see. But I think the highlight of this game wasn't even what happened on the pitch. It was what was happening in the stands. The homie, the president of Real Madrid... Florentino Perez is out. Is in Austin, of all places. It's hard to make sense of what he's doing, even in Texas at all.
Everyone's confused.
Everyone is very confused. But he is, he's, yeah, we see him here.
It also looks like his, I'm assuming, grandkid is his accountant.
There used to be this thing, but, you know, our friend Jamie Lee, comedian Jamie Lee, she's a writer. She was a writer for Ted Lasso. And she used to do this Tumblr. This is how long ago it was. It was a Tumblr called Old Kids. So, like, parents that used to post, like, their kids or even kids that were in, like, in magazines or whatever that dressed like old people. Like,
for some reason,
this was some sort of aesthetic of dressing like older. Right. And this is
what, this kid, prime candidate.
My man is dressed like, you know, like he's about to retire in 2 years.
100%. He's dressed like he'd rather be golfing right now.
So shout out to this little man. Florentino.
Even the haircut. Even the look on his face.
So he's why I'm looking at this and I'm wondering, like, what does Florentino Perez think of this? Of this football, of this level of soccer.
I would pay money for the just the running thoughts through his head.
So funny. Jeez. He's just like, is he impressed? I mean, he's why Alec, he recognizes obviously like Ricky Puig.
Yeah.
So there's a couple people he's clearly familiar with, but I wonder, you know.
I'm sure he's thinking like, maybe they'll agree to join the Super League.
That'd be great. But yeah, so a big win for Austin, even though LA Galaxy have looked, you know, kind of like, yeah, they've been one of the better teams in the Western Conference, but they
not today or not this weekend.
Yeah, yeah. So shouts to them. Anybody else that we missed? Anything? I think we got everything. Oh, yeah. I was gonna mention the last thing. The LAFC against Portland Timbers, which was a great game. But the LAFC won this game, but it was Diego Chara got the he was being recognized for having the most regular season appearances of any for one club for any MLS.
Beautiful.
And
they gave him half the match off, which I thought was really cool, or a quarter of the match.
But it's so funny because he breaks the record with 377. He beat Chris Wondolowski, and then gets a red card in the same game. So it just is.
Hey, go get in the showers early. You deserve it, buddy.
Diego being Diego. But no, look, if it wasn't for that red card, Timbers probably either draw the game or maybe even win the game. This is becoming a very good rivalry between these two teams. They're having really, really good matches every single time they play each other.
I'm excited to see what happens when Giroud gets here for LAFC.
Yeah, so a lot to look forward to. All right, that's it with MLS. Let's move on.
So going from American men's soccer to American women's soccer, we're talking some NWSL, which we haven't done that much to start the beginning of the season. Admittedly, apologies. We will definitely be touching on it more after the European season's end. But what's up with Gotham FC, guys? They were supposed to be
the
super
team.
We don't want to talk about it.
Why would you bring this up? Damn. Even though in pre-production we said we told you to bring this up.
Yes. But now that you're doing it, we are offended.
Not cool, bro. Gotham FC draw to Racing Louisville at home.
Two goals after stoppage time.
Two goals
in stoppage time.
In stoppage time. I forgot her first name. Raylan Turner and then Roosevelt. So in the 95th minute, Racing Louisville score, and then in the 97th minute, Gotham score. And this was a game that just felt even for the entire game. Essentially, there was a wild clearance. Crystal Dunn had a shot on goal with no goalkeeper, but Carson Pickett was in goal line clearance, and it was a huge chance. So all the goals coming in stoppage time, and it felt like another sort of disappointing, like it was going to be this is still kind of a disappointing result. But,
yeah, I mean, the season has been slow starting for Gotham.
And that's where I want to start this conversation. What is going on with Gotham FC? Is this the super team I was promised?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it's also really early, and it's the NWSL season. So okay. I think you're fine. I think we just got to get into the playoffs like we did last year.
Uh-huh.
And you'll see that things will be fine. But it's a little difficult when you're watching a team that has so many names, like Rose Lavelle scoring in the 90+7. You know?
And this was Roosevelt's first
match.
First match, first minutes. She came into the game in the second half. But so now that my question is that, yes, they bring Emily Sonnet, they bring Crystal Dunn, they bring Roosevelt, they bring Tierna Davidson. Huge names, all U.S. women's, current U.S. women's national team players.
This is a super team.
Tierna Davidson coming off of a big injury.
Yep.
Roosevelt nagging injuries kind of the last few years. It's starting to feel a little less like a super team and a little bit more like a we're betting.
Triage.
We're betting that they'll recover, that they'll be okay, and they'll be able to help the team. Like I want to see Roosevelt play a whole bunch, but now I start to think like, will she maybe not get as many minutes and not really play as many games as we would hope?
Maybe, and I honestly don't think that's anything to worry about just yet. And I know she's been dealing with nagging injuries for a while, going back to even the World Cup. But personally, I don't think it's time to worry just yet. I think Juan Carlos Amoros has the ability to bring this team together. We saw it last year. I want to see who becomes the leader on this team, and I think that's always a difficulty when you have so many superstars, especially so many new players. But it feels like last year everyone rallied around Ali Krieger.
Yeah.
This isn't your last match.
That was my question. That was...
Oh, go for it, Mike. What were you saying?
No, I was just going to say, do you think the talent kind of, you know, doesn't matter as much as real leadership? Do you think the leadership is a facet that they're really missing now that Ali's gone?
I think that's just something that's going to develop over time. I think that's something that's going to develop the more they play on the pitch together, the more they go through some of these, you know, topsy-turvy draws and wins and losses. I'm not worried just yet, you know. What are they, 5 matches into the season?
Yes. 5 matches in.
Come on.
Everybody relax. They lost, but they also, the 6th match was the Challenge Cup, which they lost. My main concern after having, you know, watched a lot of these games is they're not scoring enough. They're not scoring enough goals at all. You know, they had the one win against the Thorns. They won 1-0. And that is the thing that I thought was going to be like, oh, we got this great team. It's going to be raining goals. And
watch when Rose can play 90 and can ping, you know, Esther and Lynn Williams.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So Yasmin Ryan.
I think the injury to Midge Purse is also the really, really huge. The huge like thing that they have to figure out who's sort of going to step up in that role. And I think it's probably going to be Yasmin Ryan.
Yeah.
But
I could see Lynn also kind of taking on a bit more of a leadership role.
Yeah, it's interesting because
she doesn't seem like a natural want to be a leader, but. You know, a little bit of an elder statesman at this point in our career.
Look, I'm not necessarily thinking that the team has any sort of leadership issue because they're also not getting like blown out in games either. No. So that isn't the case. I think it's just figuring out offensively what the, you know, with all these new players, regardless if they're superstars or not, you just have to figure out like, you know, there's only one soccer ball. And just like in the NBA, you build these like the big three and super teams and or whatever. And then you look at what happened to the damn Phoenix Suns. Kevin Durant goes there and they get swept.
They're worse.
they're worse. Yeah. So I'm not saying that Gotham are like just that they're worse, but it's definitely they have to figure out from a chemistry standpoint, like who's gonna just. Be that aggressive player up front. Who is specifically going to, like, the midfield looks just so different than it did last season and stuff like that. So there's a lot of, like, I think adjustment that Amoros, I think, is still kind of figuring out and still dealing with, you know, Esther didn't play in the game as well. So still dealing with, like, injuries and stuff like that. But, again, with the hype that we had before the season started to what we're seeing now, it's like, all right. Okay, this is not what I want.
We want to see the super team. I want to see super.
The super part is you got a team.
Yeah.
You got the team. The super part is what we're lacking. So, overall, I mean, this season to start, Kansas City Current have just been remarkable. I mean, they
Gotham's next match is against second place North Carolina Courage, who have more than double their points. Yeah. So this will be interesting.
Yeah. So the the league has gotten a lot better and, you know, even with the introduction of the new teams and stuff like that. I love Amy Rodriguez, a coach for the Utah Royals, got a red card recently.
Nice.
Did you hear why she got a red card?
No.
It was obviously the coach, but she I have to get the exact quote, but it was like specifically like foul language and badgering the referee. She was just, it was like very specific of like, you didn't say the words she used, but I know the words she used.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We know.
we know what she said. So she was really, really pissed about the previous game. Yeah, they played the Houston Dash and it was a 0-0 draw. All right. So best of luck to Gotham. Hopefully they figure it all out.
Yeah, because, turn it around, guys. Come on.
Those fans, after, especially after the season.
Do it for Allie.
Do it for Allie. Bring, get Allie just on. Oh, yeah, I'm wearing the Allie Kruger fan club. They should, I don't know, get a, like, just put a cardboard cutout of Allie on the bench. You know what I mean?
Or like the, what is it, Liverpool and what, Notre Dame?
They have the thing like,
like champs?
But, yeah.
Just Allie.
Just have her face right there. Okay. All right. Let's wrap up there, everybody. Thank you again for tuning in. As always, we appreciate it. Make sure you subscribe here on YouTube. Follow us on all socials at @SoccerCooligans, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, for as long as it exists. Yep. Okay.
Hit the button.
Hit the button.
Tell your friends to hit the button.
A lot of fun stuff coming up soon. So there's the European seasons are ending, but yeah, we got a lot in the pipeline. Also, if you're in DC, I'll mention it again next week, but I'm gonna be it's just one of the greatest places to be right now. But if you're in DC on May 8th, I'm gonna be again hosting the congressional soccer game.
Come on,
so that should be a lot of fun. This is a Democrats versus Republicans soccer game that is for the U.S. Soccer Foundation.
You have to keep saying it's for charity.
It is
folks.
For charity. It is
relax.
It is not a fist fight. I promise. No, it is a charity for the U.S. Soccer Foundation, which helps create opportunities, especially in soccer, for underserved communities. A really, really awesome organization that we've worked with before. Really, really great people. And the congressional soccer game last year was entertaining. Some of these politicians can play soccer. Some of them cannot. But it's entertaining nonetheless. It is free. You can go on our Instagram, so you can see the ticket link. So get it there. So @SoccerCooligans, if you want to go to the congressional soccer game, it is free May 8th in the afternoon. All right,
go check out Krisha holding back his political opinion.
Okay, I'm gonna see. Yeah. Everybody's like, great shot. What is your record?
Yeah.
What is your voting record? So very concerned. Anyway, so I'll see you there in DC. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. We'll see you on Thursday with a brand new episode of the Cooligans. We appreciate it, everybody. Peace.
Love you guys.
Hello, it is your partner, Big Boy. Interested in giving back to your community while making new connections in your neighborhood? Introducing Neighbor to Neighbor, a California volunteers network that empowers you to take action, contribute to local needs, and be a part of something bigger than yourself. Visit caneighbors.com to learn more about how you can get to know your neighbor and strengthen your community. Neighbor to Neighbor, it takes a neighborhood. Hello.